He was filled with what God knew. He was filled with what God could do. He was filled with what God had. And he was prospered, and the nation prospered. Now look down in verse 15, and I don't know how many years have passed here, but he has done some things as a king. He's reigned. He's developed in his ability to reign. And he's made a name for himself. And it says in verse 15, "And in Jerusalem he made engines of war invented by skillful men to be on the towers and on the corners for the purpose of shooting arrows and great stones. Hence his fame spread afar." And then look at this next verse. "For he was marvelously helped until he became strong." Do you see that? Then it says in verse 16, "But when he became strong, his heart was lifted up to his own downfall." Because somehow in the midst of being made strong, he started looking to his strength. He was marvelously helped till he became strong. And I'm here to confess to you tonight that that is what has been happened in my life. I remember when you're looking at somebody that never wanted to preach. I was a very shy, introverted person all my life. The reason why I did drugs and alcohol is because when I got stoned or drunk, I could say what I always wanted to say that I was too fearful to say when I wasn't stoned or drunk. So the appealing thing for me was I could break out of this shyness, this bashfulness that pretty much crippled me all of my life. I was too fearful about what people thought of me. And when I came into the kingdom, my highest aspiration was to be an usher. That's all I wanted. I wanted to be a good usher now. Don't get me wrong. But that's all I wanted to be. And the Lord was cruel, at least I thought he was cruel at first, in that he says, and there wasn't anybody. I led some people to the Lord, and he says, they need to be taught. And he asked me to do it. But I had lack. There was poverty. And which caused me to press into God. But I want you to know, back then I couldn't say it very well. I really couldn't. I remember my first attempts. I mean, I shook. And it wasn't the Holy Spirit that caused me to shake. And brother, I'd stand up there and my knees would knock together. I would stutter. I had one judge who was in prison with me. He was in there because he had conspired to kill another judge and his wife. And he had a life sentence. But his name was Judge Joe Peel. He was a federal judge. But he was a very eloquent man. He was in the JCs. I was the chaplain of the JCs. He was also the president of the Toastmasters, the inmate chapter. Very eloquent man. And he had heard me preach one time. And so he came up to me, and this is what he said to me. He said, "Jim, I don't know what you're going to do when you get on the street, but you'll never make it as a preacher." And I said, "Thank you very much." And I went back to my prayer closet with that. I said, "No, even Jack. God, even Joe notices, you know, that I'm not here to be preached." But I couldn't say it very well. And because I'd get a few scriptures or I'd memorize, and I'd spend a little time on preparing, and then I would just get on my face. I said, "God, if you've got to help me," I'd press into him, "I don't know what I'm going to do." And I'd get up there, and even though I didn't say it very well, it was empowered. People's lives changed. It always amazed me. People would come up and say, "Wow, man, I want you to know that changed my life." I said, "It did." And I couldn't get it because, you know, I stuttered. And there was lapses in it. I rambled a lot. I told bad jokes. And I did everything wrong, but something right happened in it because in my weakness, God filled it with his strength. It always amazes me. I remember about 7 years ago, I heard that Paul Youngie Cho was coming to town. He was going to Benny Hinn's church to do a conference, and I wanted to hear this man who had built at that time a 750,000 member church. I hear it's over a million now, but I said, this man has got to be eloquent, he's got to be articulate, he's got to be powerful. And so I got there early, sat on the front row, and this guy gets out and he comes up there and he's not much to look at. I don't know who his tailor is, but he needs to get a new one. I'm just telling you, he's not very impressive. And then I said, well, he doesn't need to be impressive because he can speak real well. Well, he speaks in this broken English. And he tells these bad jokes that the only one that laughs at him is him. He tells them, they go, oh, you know. And I'm waiting for something profound from the scripture, you know, some deep insight, and he doesn't give it. But when he gives the altar call, everybody but me came forward. And I'm thinking, man, I didn't get it, you know. And he didn't say it very well. But he'll tell you he spends 3 hours in prayer before he speaks. There's something on that wasn't on mine, that was on earlier but isn't on now. 1 Thessalonians 1:5 says, the gospel came to you not as mere words, but as a message with power behind it, the convincing power of the Holy Spirit. And I can remember a time where that was on. And I want you to know, today I can say it really well. I mean, I have learned. I have taken classes. I have gotten a dictionary. I've got a computer. My notes are works of art. I mean, sometimes I'm just amazed at them. You know, they're just... But I can say it a whole lot better. But I want you to know, it is nowhere near as effective as it was 22 years ago. Because I don't press in him. I spend 3 or 4 or 5, 10 hours on the message, and then I say, oh yeah, by the Lord, could you show up? You understand? It's easy to do the things that God has called us to do and then leave him out of it. I'm discovering it's not superior ability that God, that people need, it's the hand of God. Poverty is what gets you grace, not riches. Lack and insufficiency is what unlocks the door. It's what you can't do and not what you can do that qualifies you for the grace of God. God's grace is given to the impoverished, not to the affluent. God's grace is received upon surrender, not awarded upon conquest. The grace of God is found only in weakness, never in strength. It's always the presence of God which dispenses the grace is always found in weakness. Paul said that. He says, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And he was very aware, and he says, I'll boast about anything that makes me weak. Brother Charles, when he was sharing earlier, talked about different people in the Old Testament and what qualified them to be chosen. I'm sure there's other things, their propensity to be courage and have faith, but one of the first things that comes to mind is they were weak people. It's interesting that Joseph wasn't chosen when he was walking around in his coat of many colors and filled with the dreams that he had just received and what all they meant. It was years later when he's in a prison cell. Everything that he could have done to make that happen has been dashed to pieces, and at his weakest, God raises him up because that weakness created a void that God could fill. Because what the world needed wasn't Joseph, it was the God that was in Joseph. Moses, when he took the person's life, he had been raised in the palace of Egypt. But it took 40 years of emptying him of what he knew and what he can do and what he had. And when he was at his poorest, God says, now I can use you. And he wasn't sure. He says, here am I, send Aaron. Because, you know, he said, you don't understand. I don't have what it takes anymore, Lord. I forgot all the things that I learned. And he said, I know. Good. That's what qualifies you. Gideon. He was known as the most insignificant member of the most insignificant family. How would you like to be known as that? the least person in the least family. God says, well, who could I use? Well, let's find the least of the least family. And called him a mighty man of valor. I'm sure Gideon looked around when he said that because he knew he wasn't talking to him. And then he blew the trumpet and they were going to face the Philistines, 135,000 of them. 32,000 came out and the Lord said, there's too many. I mean, that doesn't look like too many. 32,000 against 135,000. And he says, it's too many because I don't want anyone to get the impression it was their power or strength that has done this. And maybe with 32,000, somebody might get that idea. So there's too many. So he says, you tell everybody that's afraid they can go home. And 22,000 said, I'm afraid. And there was left 10,000. And the Lord said, too many. And then there was whittled down to 300. And in the weakness and foolishness of 300 people, they wrought a great victory for the Lord. And we could go on. But I want you to know, Zechariah 4 and verse 6 makes this statement. It's one that we people in the charismatic renewal know a lot. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Say that with me. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. The Hebrew word there for might means might that comes from two sources. One would be might that comes from wealth. How many know that wealth wields a lot of might? It does. If you have money, you can do a lot of things. So it's telling you it's not coming by money. Whatever you need is not going to come as a result of money. Money doesn't hurt. But it won't come as a result of money. So it's not by money. The other way it says it's also might that comes from an army. That when you have a lot of people, you can wield some might. And the Lord's saying it doesn't come by money and it doesn't come by many. The Hebrew word says nor by power. It's the word for human resource. It's the word for what you can do, either through your personality or through your intellect or through your cunningness. It's power that comes through human resources. So the scripture is saying it's not by money and it's not by many, nor is it by me, but by the Spirit. And we've got to come to that place if we want to see God move and understand that. Second Chronicles 20, verse 12, you don't have to turn there, but it makes this statement. They're facing a great multitude, and I like this. This is the place where I want to stay. They make this statement. They look at what's coming against them, and they said, we are powerless against this great multitude. And we don't know what to do. Our eyes are upon you. Now, I don't think that's something that should be stated just when there's a great multitude. I believe that's a posture that we need to somehow cultivate in the everyday of our life, in our life on a daily basis, that we've got to say, I'm powerless, Lord. And I don't know what to do. My eyes are on you. And when we have that, then something happens. When you don't have much, and you don't know much, and you can't do much, you're a prime candidate for the Lord to use. Prime candidate. God is again going to use weak things to confound the wise. One of the things we have to guard against is to not stop what God is doing with weak things, foolish things, despised things, things that are not. He's going to use people we wouldn't use, means we wouldn't use, because, as Bob Mumford once said, God has this problem. He thinks he's God. He does what he wants. His I can is birthed out of our I can't. It's when I say, I can't, that I'll hear his voice saying, but I can. The end of your strength is the beginning of God's. Only weakness finds his strength. Only need finds his provision. Only helplessness finds his power, and only emptiness finds his fullness. I want to leave you with this thought. This is probably a good thought. At least I'm thinking it is. It's when I think I can, I probably can't. But when I think I can't, I probably can. Because that thinking I can will cause me to press into him. Does that make sense? He was marvelously helped before he became strong. And what I want to do tonight, I want you to stand with me. God's in a season of filling people that are empty. He's in a season of strengthening people that are weak. He's in a season where he is empowering people that are helpless. And he is in a season of providing for those that are in need. He is doing something fresh and full in our lives. I'm not quite sure what it is, but if you're here tonight and you're hungry, or if you're empty, that emptiness is what will open up the door for God to fill you. If you're sensing any weakness, you're saying, but Jim, you just don't know what I've been going through. You don't know what I've done. You don't, that doesn't disqualify you for it. That's what qualifies you for it. It's a weakness. He'll fill it with your strength. If you are in need, he's got some provision. And what I want to do in this closing moments is I want to say a prayer, and then I just want to open up for those of you that are empty and need to be filled, those of you that are weak and need to be strengthened, those of you that are helpless and need to be empowered, that the Lord is here to do that. Amen? And I want to open up and I want to be able to pray for you. And we'll pray as long as it takes. Because you matter to God. You really do. You matter to him. Father, I thank you. I pray now, Lord, as we are sitting here and hearing from you, that you would make us keenly a sense of our spiritual poverty. Lord, we're not sure anymore. We used to be. We're not sure of what we know and even what we can do. Or even what we have, but we are sure, Lord, that you have everything that it takes, know everything that should be known, and can do anything. We're sure of that. And it's that we want to press into, Lord, not only for our sakes, but for those people, Lord, that will be ministered through us. Lord, we ask, help us, bring us back to a place where we are totally dependent upon you. Not that knowledge isn't good, you'll use it. But it has to be you, the one using the knowledge. Not that experience isn't good, but it's experience that you would tap into, not us. Lord, I pray for everyone that is hungry tonight, that you would satisfy. For everyone that is empty, you would fill. And for everyone that is helpless, you would empower. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're here, you want some prayer, because you want to say to the Lord, Lord, I'm weak. I need your strength. If you want to say, I'm empty. I need to be filled. If you want to say, I'm helpless, then the Lord is here to meet you. Yes, so if you want some prayer, just come on out where you're at. Don't be shy. God is doing great things. My best friend Jim Britnell came up to Ephrata, very conservative area. Went to several churches. All they did was testify of what God was doing. Phenomenal things happened. I found myself catching people for his 13-year-old and 10-year-old boy that were praying for people. And they were just dropping. I never thought I would be in that position. But God is doing wonderful things. He's doing things in a moment. We been trying to do for years. God is accelerating things. I don't know if the time is short, but he's accelerating. He's in a time where a word will speak volumes, a touch will do a multitude. And I'm just want to make that available for you tonight. Now, if you're full, more than you can handle, then stay right where you're at. If you got all the strength you can handle, stay where you're at. But if you're saying, I need more, Lord, more of the Lord.